Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin. I'm so excited for my guest today. My guest is Chloe Langer, a writer, podcaster, author of Created for Love, Reflections for the Catholic Bride-to-Be, host of the podcast Letters to Women, which explores the feminine genius, and author of the forthcoming book, Letters to Women. She is a fabulous influence on me. I've loved her, listening to her show, being on her show a while back, and just seeing all the beauty that she brings to the world through her writing. So, Chloe, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Oh, Lindsay, you're so kind. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Oh, sure. So you have a quote from JP, too, that we are both shocked that no one else has suggested having on the show before. And it's three words, but it's super powerful. It's "Be not afraid," from Pope St. John Paul II. I'm so excited that you picked this. Can you tell us where you first remember hearing it?
Gosh, you know, it's one of the quotes from John Paul II. He's 100% my favorite saint. So when I'm thinking back on this, it's kind of been the air that I breathe, this "Be not afraid." So I can't even remember where I first heard it. But when it stuck and started to mean something specifically to me, it was in confession in the summer of 2015, and a priest, Father Gail Hammerschmidt, who I know and love as a dear friend, asked me if I was afraid of God's plan. You know, he said, "Chloe, I don't think that you think that God doesn't have a plan for you, but I'm wondering if you're afraid of it." I know, right? It's like, oh, thank you, Father Gail.
Different questions. We don't ask it like that. Like, do you trust that God has a plan for you? But
Right, exactly. And it's like, oh, that's a lot to think on. And he shared that quote with me. To be not afraid, to not be afraid of the plans that God has for me, to not be afraid of what he has in store, and to trust that he's a good father, that he shows up, that he keeps his promises, and that he does have good things. And so that's when I first heard it back in the summer of 2015. And you know, it's been a quote. I love how you describe it. It's three words, it's super short, but holy smokes, it's been my anchor through seasons of pain, through seasons of just heavy crosses, and then just also this anchor and beautiful good consolation moments as well, that we're not supposed to be afraid of God, that he's a good father, and that he shows up.
Yeah, you know, so often when I think of that quote, I think, be not afraid of the world and of the circumstances that God has put me in, but not be not afraid of God himself.
But yeah,
I think I've definitely experienced that too, where I'm like, God, are you sure? Mm-hmm. I hear you pretty loud and clear this time, but still like a confirmation or an abrupt change in plans.
Yes, exactly. Amen. I've been there too.
Either is fine. So you share that this is inside your wedding ring.
Yeah. You know, Joseph, my husband and I, when we were picking out our wedding ring sets, the jewelers suggested, like, you can engrave whatever you want in here if you want to engrave something. And it was a quote that John Paul II was the patron saint of our dating relationship. He continues to be the patron saint of our family, but that was we didn't have to think about it. We're like, be not afraid. I mean, handy, it fits inside a wedding ring. It's not a long quote or paragraph that we have from him, but it was just something that, you know, it's the phrase that if I ever get a tattoo, this is what I would get. To have something inside a wedding ring, the ring I wear every day, the ring that reminds me of my vocation, that the Lord's called me into, and marriage is beautiful. But marriage also has had some challenging seasons. And so the fact that it's words that are imprinted on the ring that reminds me that the fact that God is good and that he has called me to this specific vocation, like I love that it's there every day.
And is it inside your husband's ring too?
It is. Yep. It's happening.
My husband and I also did, we engraved in our wedding rings, but, his is pretty short, and I did, like you said, and like used up every character I possibly could. I was like very specific about how they did the punctuation. I was like, don't change it. Don't make the period a dash. That will be wrong.
That would ruin it.
Not how I did this. Like, I only have so much space. He doesn't have incredibly large. Oh my gosh. I'm not very big. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to use every single little bit. And I had to write drafts.
I love that. That's so great.
Very much on brand, as they would say. So this has been through also an experience that we both shared going through miscarriage. Can you tell me more about that? Because I think that is a really scary time, obviously. I think I know from talking to other women, we all experience in some ways all very differently. And in some ways, a lot of what happens is the same. It's like a lot of emotions and some decision making that you have to make in the most emotional time of your life for questions that you probably didn't even prepare to answer.
Yeah. You know, I remember, so we lost my son, or Joseph and I's son, Marian, March 25th of 2017. So we're coming up on 3 years, which is crazy to think about. And I can, this day is imprinted in my memory. Like I can play that 24 hours minute by minute and remember exactly how it went down. And I remember we kind of knew that we might be losing him through miscarriage, and it was a Saturday morning, and I started to miscarry, and we went to the hospital, and it was a little bit of a drive, about 15 minutes. And I'm just sitting in the passenger seat of the car, and you're right. It's like, I didn't expect to go through this. This wasn't supposed to be my story. How can this be part of God's plan? Where are you? And there's this beautiful song rendition of this quote by Mike Mangione. And the line is, oh mama, be not afraid. And it's so good. And I kid you not, in my head, I'm singing the song, that one line over and over and over and over to myself as we drive to the hospital, because you're right. There's so many decisions that you have to make about your child that you don't get to bring him home from the hospital in the way that you expected to. You have to name a baby, you know, 6 months earlier than you thought you'd even have to. And you have to say goodbye at the same time. And so, or at least here on this side of heaven. And so just this phrase, I didn't want to make decisions out of fear or out of this desire to control. I wanted to make decisions as a couple out of trust and hope. And that's so hard to do in the moment, especially in the raw moment of actually miscarrying. But holy smokes, that phrase was the anchor. And I know John Paul II is taking care of Marian. And I was just talking to a friend this weekend about this and just thinking how beautiful heaven will be. What a reunion that I get to meet Marian for the first time. And so just this anchor, be not afraid. I have a plan. Don't be afraid of the plan that I have for you.
Right. This is bigger than you, but that's like, sometimes that feels really scary, but like, that's a good thing that it's bigger than us, because we wouldn't want to make all the decisions that we would have to, you know, like if it were actually, if we did have the like quote unquote freedom that our culture tells us we have, I wouldn't want to make half those decisions. How would I?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, originally, you know, it's like, it's a cross, right? Like losing Marian and you losing, going through the same situation. It's not something I would have picked.
Right.
Well, in the moment, it's something that I would have changed if I could have, but I didn't have that freedom to. And it's not something that I wanted, but I think that cross and that invitation to embrace it that was something that the Lord was inviting me into. And he wanted to invite not a scared girl into it, but just this invitation to step into him and into his heart and lean in and embrace it as a strong woman and the beloved daughter that he made me to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There is no single experience in my life that has been as moving and as changing to my faith as that was. And I think you're right. The way you said lean in, like I really felt like I was leaning on God because I tried to pray and I was silent, and it wasn't even, at times it wasn't even anger. It was just, I have no idea. I have no idea what to say right now. And I was so, I've never been so quiet and so still. And I've also never felt God as profoundly as I did then, because I leaned into him. And I thought of that line from scripture, you know, like, Lord, to whom else, would we go? Like I had no idea what to do dealing with the, you know, even like the emotional aftermath afterward, I had no idea, but also could not fathom where else I would go to find whatever it was I was looking for either. Because I wasn't going to find it.
Right. Amen. That's so true.
And then you also shared that this quote hung in your labor and delivery room while you were delivering your daughter. Was it already there or did you bring it?
I wish. Wouldn't that be beautiful? That would be such a God.
Where did you deliver your child? Hook me up. Even though we live some states away from each other.
I will travel for that room. No. So there is this beautiful print that I have. From a company called Just Love Prints, and it's this beautiful mountain. Isn't it?
She's a fellow Lindsay. I'm
gonna
Please do. I love her stuff. I do it all over my house too.
So good. So originally I'd gotten this as the Be Not Afraid in John Paul II's handwriting as a Christmas gift. It was a little temporary tattoo from her shop. And I'd saved one. I wanted to wear it during labor, but Maeve came quickly, which I was not complaining about. So I didn't have time to, you know, let me just pause real quick and apply this temporary tattoo. other things were on my mind. But I had this print from her that I brought. I packed it in my hospital bag, and that was what I wanted. You know, a lot of people are like, you find an anger phrase during labor that you can really center yourself around. And I wanted Be Not Afraid. That's what I wanted, because, you know, giving birth to a baby in a way where I get to meet her and I get to bring her home from the hospital, that was such a gift. And I think something I appreciated so much more because that wasn't Marian's story. And so just, it felt so much sweeter because I knew what it was like to not have that end to a pregnancy. But at the same time, you know, you go home with a baby and they don't send you home with a handout of things to do and exactly how to raise a child. It's a new adventure. It's this new season, and it's a new season that can bring a lot of fear. Like, am I doing this right? Am I enough? Am I loving this baby well? Am I failing? And just to have that from the beginning, like the first moment that I met Maeve, that was hanging there as this reminder, like, nope, this is not a season of fear either. This is a season of courage too.
Right. And God saying, do you trust me? Over and over again, he's saying, do you trust me? I'm trusting you with this little girl. Do you trust me with this little girl?
Yes. Amen. 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 And that's the thing too, is like, I didn't get to hold on to Marian, or like I had to let him go. I had to let God take him in. And the same thing with Maeve. I can't control. I don't get to pick the plan. I get to participate in it, and I get to participate in it freely. And that's such a beautiful journey if I'm not, you know, chained down by fear of something bad happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And as your kids get older, like you can't control a lot of things. Sorry, Chloe, there's a lot of things you can't control, but there are so many beautiful things, especially right, my two oldest boys are 7 and 9 right now, and they're best friends, but they are like totally different people, and I could not have formed them. Like, even like writing a character in a novel, like you cannot create all the intricacies of a human being.
Yeah.
That's not our job. We're not supposed to, but it's so beautiful. And it's challenging sometimes because you're like, that piece maybe right now I wouldn't have chosen. That one looks a little bit too much like me. Let's skip that. But you can't do that. For better or for worse. And that is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of who you are and the people that God has put in your life and the ways that he's asked you to attend to them, because he knows. Like, we just keep getting lost thinking that maybe he doesn't know, but he knows.
Yes. That's so true.
Tells us over and over again in scripture and in the way we live our lives and in the people we meet that he's got this.
Yeah, I love how reading through scripture, that's what you know, when the Lord sends someone to announce something, a season of change, something new, something that he wants us to participate in, or the people in scripture to participate in, so often it starts with, don't be afraid, like angels right. to shepherds, don't be afraid, yeah. it's okay, take a deep breath, I've got this.
Right, and so he's also acknowledging that, like, I know this is scary. Yeah. So, like, it's not surprising to God that we're afraid of these things.
Right, exactly.
Like, when the school nurse calls, like, if one of my kids bonks their head during recess, like, they always check for a concussion, so she has to call, like, let you know that everything's fine. But she'll say, hi, this is the nurse, everything's fine. Yeah. Like, that's one word. Because she knows, just like God knows, this probably sounds a little bit scary. Like, when I see the school come in my phone, the ID in the middle of the day, I'm like, I have a kid with food allergies. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And thank God, we've never had that be a thing. It's just them running into things during recess. Which is fine. They're little boys. It's fine.
Exactly.
But yeah, I've never thought of it that way. That is God acknowledging that, yes, this is scary.
Yes.
You don't have to be ashamed that you're scared either, because he knows already.
Right, exactly. And I think it's tempting, especially, I don't know why, especially with the Lord, because he knows me better than anyone, to just say, like, no, it's okay, Lord, I'm not afraid, even when I am. And so just to acknowledge, yeah, I love that. Like, if he's encouraged us to be not afraid, he knows it's because we have a tendency to be afraid.
Right. And if he's accepted that, then maybe we can too.
Amen.
All right. We have to wrap it up. I feel like we could talk for days. But thank you so much for hanging out with me. I love chatting with you again.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. This was so fun. I was looking forward to this so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to have some links to your books and your show and all of your things in the show notes. Guys, look out for Letters to Women. The book is coming. We're not sure when. but keep an eye out for it. Follow Chloe online, and I'm sure you will not miss it. And I'm sure I'll be shouting it from the rooftops when it comes out too. So, Chloe, thanks for hanging out with me.
Oh, Lindsay, thanks for having me.
Listeners, to suggest a quote or a guest, follow the show on Instagram, quoteme_podcast, or contact me at my website, lindsayschlegel.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review wherever you find your shows, and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyła of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPIIteachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.